Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith.
I have two props this morning. Could somebody bring me a chair for this side? So I'm a strong bloke, please, for there. And then I have a ball over there, an exercise ball. Thank you very much. That we're going to try and balance here. Just here. I'm going to try and stick it between these two. Don't go anywhere. Okay. Oh, great, great. I can't work out this morning whether I'm excited, nervous, anointed, or whether it was a huge cup of coffee I had yesterday. Oh, my goodness. We went out for a coffee, and you know in Costa when you ask for a large, it's the double-handed one. It's absolutely huge. And I've been shaking ever since. But hopefully it's the size that if you put it under your camp bed at Faith Camp, got caught short in the night, you'd be all right. So, thank you, Jesus, for your peace. I trust it's the anointing and not just caffeine. Okay, so the beginning of the fast it's February now, isn't it? God spoke to me from Ephesians 1, 2, and 3. And he got me to write a lot of things from those scriptures. And he said to just be speaking them over the body, myself and Clive and the body for the fast. And then I didn't realise I'd end up speaking at the end of the fast. And God said to bring some of those things. First of all, what I'm going to do is, if you were here last week, you may have seen Clive flitting across the stage. So over here, he was talking about the earth. So this is the earth this morning. And over here, he was talking about where God is seated, okay, in heavenly places, in the kingdom of heaven. And he was flitting up and down. And I just felt God just to say to carry on this morning. And you're going to see why, but God is doing a great, exciting work in the earth, okay? And as his church, he wants us fully on board of what he's doing, releasing his kingdom in these days on the earth. And he does it through us, he does it through his people, amen? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take these few scriptures and I'm going to sit here, okay? That's Ephesians. Now, I'm going to flip through some of these verses, so don't try and read it with me because I'm going to be flitting about. Now, where do we start? Okay. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, okay, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. Amen? Because we are united with Christ even before he made the world. God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. So we were over here doing our thing on the earth, okay? This was me before I was saved. We'll do my exercises here, tucking it in. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. Amen? So I was here living my life, we all were, maybe some of you still are, I don't know, here today, on the earth, born into the earth, doing my own thing without God. And God decided in his grace and mercy to choose me and adopt me into his family. Okay? God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. Yeah? So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear son. Okay, so over there, I believed that Jesus died on the cross for me. And when I believed, he filled me with his Holy Spirit, his spirit, and seated me over here. He's so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his son and forgave our sins. He has showered his kindness on us along with all wisdom and understanding. God has now revealed to us his mysterious plan regarding Christ, the plan to fulfill his own good pleasure. And this is the plan at the right time. He'll bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and on earth. Amen. Furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God. For he chose us in advance and he makes everything work out according to his plan. Yes. Amen? Okay, moving on. In this place, and I've been praying this for us, asking God, the glorious Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, to give us spiritual wisdom and insight so we might grow in our knowledge of God and grow in our knowledge of who we are in him, seated here, okay? I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so you can understand the confident hope he has given to those he called, his holy people who are his rich and glorious inheritance. I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honour at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Now, he is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made him head over all things for the benefit of us, the church. Amen. And the church is his body. It's made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere with himself. Moving on to chapter 2, it says, but God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It's only by God's grace that you've been saved. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. So we are seated in heavenly places, okay? We live on the earth, like Clive was saying last week. We live here, but our spirit is seated here in heavenly realms with Christ. Can you see that? Do you get that? You are light. Your spirit is the light of Christ, okay? In the spirit, you're here. Your body's here. We're going to look at what? And in Ephesians 3, it goes on to say that, well, you know, when we grasp the love that he has for us, there's more that we can ask or imagine through the Holy Spirit working in us. And like we looked at in Genesis 11 a couple of months ago, I think, and more recently, when we're united, when we all get this, nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible for those who believe. Amen? So God wants us to get this and live in this reality, okay? Because the enemy knows it. He knows it probably more than we do, this real reality. So anyway, God's been speaking to me about from Romans 5, 17, and I'm going to read it from here. Okay, so we know that Adam, first in the garden, Adam and Eve in the garden with God, and he placed them there, he put them there, had relationship with them, walked with them, they were to rule and reign. And it says, but and we know Adam sinned. It says, for the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of righteousness. Okay, we've been made right with him. For all who receive it will live in triumph over sin and death and reign in life. Okay, so we're here on the earth for however long, and our spirit that is in heavenly places is to rule and reign here and now. Yeah. Two of you believe it. Rule and reign in life. For me, that's the roll away. That's the call on our lives. That's what his church is called to do. Rule and reign in life. And one of the versions of it says, reign as kings in life. Okay, so I have another prop down here. You might be able to guess what it is. This is every single one of us. Just say to yourself, I'm a king. Say to the person next to you, I'm a king.
I'm a king.
Right, I'm going to leave it. I'm not going to wear it around. We are to reign as kings in life. It says to be king, to exercise kingly power, to reign, to be a governor of a province, to rule with the rule of the Messiah, and the reign of Christians that are to come in the millennium. There are scriptures in Revelation that talk about us. It says that he has made us a kingdom and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. This is in the life to come. We're not just going to be floating around on clouds or sleeping or whatever. We're going to be ruling and reigning. But it doesn't start then. It starts now. Okay? It says, the Lord God will shine on them and they will reign forever and ever. So we're going to have work to do. We're going to be making judgments, okay? There's stuff that God wants us to do, but he wants us to be doing it and living in it now. And I was reading some verses the other day where, you know, the story of Mary who brings the alabaster jar and breaks it over Jesus, over his head and over his feet, and this oil just pours down over Jesus. And he said, she is getting my body ready. She's anointing my body for burial. And as I read that, I felt a question in me. What are you getting my body ready for? What are you getting my body ready for? Because his body is the church, yeah? But it's not for burial, because he's coming back. And it's this whole ruling and reigning he wants to get us ready for. Because when he comes, that's what we're going to be doing with him. And he wants us to be ruling and reigning now in life. Romans 5:17 mentions two things that we've received. We've received an abundance of grace and a gift of righteousness that enables us, okay? The grace enables us to reign. And being made right gives us confidence to reign. It gives us confidence when we're seated here in the Spirit to hear what God is saying and to speak it here or release it here and know that something's going to work, to know that our prayers are going to be answered. Amen? That's the anointing that he's given us. We're made right so we have confidence. And a grace enables us to do what we can't do. And it positions us to hear him and decree and do what he's saying. Is this okay? You're on board? Everything that we need to reign in life was accomplished on the cross when Jesus said, it's finished. That's why we call it the accomplished work of the cross, the finished work of Christ. He finished, he dealt with sin, he dealt with sickness, he dealt with lack, he dealt with where there's no peace, he brings peace. Where there's no victory, he brings victory. It's a completed work that he achieved for us. Yeah. We don't have to try to get that. Right. We have it because we're seated with him. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. We have it here and now. So if you know you're trying to get right with God, if you know you're trying to see something accomplished, stop trying and believe your position. Read Ephesians 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. It's all amazing. That is who we are. And in this season, he wants us to know who he is, how great he is, how over every principality and power he is, and that authority he's given to us to rule and reign in the earth. I want to read you something that I was reading recently in Matthew. Okay, so this is where, in Matthew 16, when Jesus asks the disciples, who do you say that I am? Okay. And Peter says, he said, you are the anointed one, the son of the living God. And Jesus replied, you are favored and privileged Simeon, son of Jonah. For you didn't discover this on your own, but my Father in heaven has supernaturally revealed it to you. I give you the name Peter the Rock. And this truth of who I am will be the bedrock foundation on which I will build my church, my legislative assembly. Did you know that's who you are? You're not just a gathering of nobodies. You're not just a gathering of sinners. We are his chosen, called out, legislative assembly. Did I get that right? Yeah. Let me just tell you what that is. So the word church, or ecclesia there, means a legislative assembly or selected ones. This is not a religious term, but a political and governmental term that is used many times in classical Greek for a group of people who have been summoned. Say to yourself, I've been summoned. And gathered together to govern the affairs of a city. That's who we are, okay? For Jesus to use this term means he's giving the keys of governmental authority in his kingdom to the church. Okay, and he goes on to say that, doesn't he? Because he says, and the power of death will not be able to overpower it. Death cannot overpower us. I will give you the keys of heaven's kingdom, realm, to forbid on earth, which is forbid in heaven. And this is what Clive was saying last week. We forbid here what's been forbidden in heaven. So sickness. There's no sickness in heaven. Jesus put an end to it. So we can forbid it. Yeah. Okay? Poverty, we can put an end to it. Yeah. I give you the keys of heaven's kingdom realm to forbid on earth that which is forbidden in heaven and to release on earth that which is released in heaven. What God calls us to do is bind up the enemy and his powers that hold people and hold situations and hold cities. Bind, smash, break that hold on their lives and then speak and decree what he's saying that then releases life, yeah. releases his answers. So Karen stood here on Wednesday night and she in her spirit knew that what this rail strike was doing, what all this hassle was doing was robbing people of their jobs. That it was just so much hassle and it was like, no, this is not right. We have authority in our town to do something about it. And we did. We agreed in the spirit, and Wednesday night was powerful. So do come the next time, next month, is it, yeah? First Wednesday of the month, where we're going to be standing in the gates to see things shift. Amen? And to release on earth that which is released in heaven. Yeah, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Or that which you forbid on earth must be at that which is already forbidden in heaven. And that which you permit on earth must be that which is already permitted in heaven. God speaks to us in prayer. God speaks to us through his word. We know what we can, what we need to bind up and break the hold of. And we know what needs to be released, don't we? We do. Anyway, that's the authority that God has given us. That's the responsibility God has given us. Yeah. As his church. That's the anointing he has given us. And it also means, the rabbis took that also to mean, that we are to teach what is lawful and what is unlawful. We are to teach truth. We are carriers of truth. And God wants us to release that truth. It's our responsibility in our lives, over our minds, in our families, in our households, in our job, in our school, in our college, in our university, in our job, if I haven't said that already, in our town, in our nation, in the nations. It's our responsibility he's given us. Okay. So we can be bold. Okay. The things we were praying on Wednesday night were bold. We were being watchmen in the gates for different aspects of society. And Ruth McGowan brought a great testimony of what she's getting up to in one of both of her boys' school, I think. Don't know, one or two there. Ruth, do you want to come up and just share what God's been getting you to do? Is there the mic there? Thanks, mate. Give her a hand. Coming up here. You're right, go for it.
My oldest son, Ben, he goes to a church school called All Saints. He's in his second year there. When he first started there, obviously, you're so focused on, is he doing okay? Is the teacher good? All that kind of thing. After that subsided, me and some of the other mums who are from churches, because half the mums come from churches whose children are there and half are in the catchment, started talking, just saying, well, maybe we should start actually praying for the school rather than just stressing about how our son's doing or how the teacher's doing. And it so happened that there were loads of other pockets of mums doing the same in different parts of the school, having the same conversations, we should pray together. And as God works, we found out that, you know, all these other people were having the same idea and decided to pray together and form a prayer group for the school. So we meet every month, and the school mums are from all different churches around Horsham. We meet every month and just really pray for the school. We pray for the headmistress. She's saved and she's very open to bringing the Bible into school and God being at the centre of the school. So we really pray for her. She's she also mentors other head teachers. So she's quite strategic, we feel, in the Diocese of Chichester. She's influencing other head teachers. So we're really getting behind her in prayer. And what's been brilliant is she's let us take a book into the staff room so that the teachers and the headmistress can write down what their prayer requests are, and they give them back to us each month, and we pray for them, and then we write down what God says to us and pass it back to them. So I knew I'd get emotional. It's just because it's exciting and, you know, just a privilege to be able to go into this school like that and to be welcomed in. So we've been also trying to bless the teachers. A lot of them aren't saved, so we did a Christmas hamper for them. We're doing cream teas for them, just so they know they've got support as well. And it's been brilliant just seeing their reaction to it, and just they feel blessed by it. And at the same sort of time, another opportunity opened up in the school to go in and start doing assemblies with the Bible Society. They do something called Open the Book. So they give you a Bible story and you act it out, and then at the end explain it, or if it's a parable, explain it, and then give the children a chance to respond. So we're going in every 2 or 3 weeks taking Bible stories in.
That's excellent. Yeah. Good, yeah.
So, yeah, again, that's really humbling to be able to go in and do that. Ben doesn't like it because I wear a dressing gown sometimes when I'm being Jesus or Peter. That's my costume. He's not impressed, but everyone else is all right. So we've just been amazed at just starting this prayer group, what doors it's opened up, really. Just one testimony of a non-Christian school mum friend of mine. Yes, she basically surprised me by just saying, you know, I think me and my husband and our family, we want to come to church. And she just said it. I shouldn't be taken aback by it, really, should I? But I was like, oh, okay, all right. She said, you know, they're coming. My son's coming back with stories about the Bible from church. He's obviously impacted by what's been taught at school. And she said, and just getting to know some of you school mums and how church is a part of your family life, we've just realised that we think that's important for us too. So that's just one testimony of what's starting to happen. So,
excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah. So, yeah, on Wednesday night, God really spoke to me about it, and he said, you're not to see it as half church mums and half catchment mums. Mm. We want to see it as all church mums, mums of faith. So he really kind of enabled me to see that in faith. So that's what we're going to pray into.
Yeah,
but also, obviously, we are blessed in a church school that we have an open door, really. So we want to pray, especially for those schools who don't necessarily have that open door at the moment, that what's happening in All Saints can affect other schools, and other schools will want to replicate that or do it in their own way. So, it's encouraging.
Can you pray that now?
Yeah.
Thank you. Let's just pray. I want Ruth to pray that because she's really got God's heart for that.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, I just pray for every single school around Horsham, Lord Jesus. For every head teacher, every teacher and every pupil. And with each pupil, all those families that are affected by what goes on in our schools, Lord Jesus. Lord, I just thank you for the open door you've given us at All Saints. I thank you for the things you're doing there. Thank you, Lord, for how you're encouraging us, Lord, to have faith and believe that you can change things in schools, Lord Jesus.
Yeah.
That we can get into the schools, Lord Jesus, and have an influence, Lord.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
Lord, I just pray that somebody prayed on Wednesday that it was like a kindling effect, that what happened in All Saints caught fire in other schools. I just pray that it catches fire, Lord Jesus.
Yeah, come on.
That all the schools in Horsham, Lord, become open to you.
Amen.
They see that something's missing.
Yep.
They see that the children need to know about the Bible, Lord Jesus, and need something in their lives that they're not going to get anywhere else, Lord Jesus.
Yeah.
So we just pray in faith, Lord, for every school, Lord Jesus, that your hand be on them, your hand be on the leadership, Lord Jesus, and your hand be on all the school mums,
Yeah.
Whatever school we're at, Lord, that, you know, we can make a difference,
Amen.
Lord Jesus.
Yes, yes.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes, thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Excellent. Thank you. You know, this year in this nation, all up and down the nation, in church schools, it's the year of the Bible. So the Bible stories are being read out in church schools all up and down this country. It's a brilliant, brilliant time and season that God is moving in our nation. Amen. And each one of us has a responsibility to get involved, to hear God's heart here and do it here. Whatever season of life you're in. When my kids were at school, I prayed in a school. Got together with other mums, with Isabel Glidden here. This is like 20-odd years ago. I can't remember, so far back now. We prayed in the schools for our kids. Seeds have been sown. God wants to move. If you've got a child at school, get God's heart for the school, for the children, and you can get in there and see and make a difference. Amen? Amen. Wherever God's placed you, you can make a difference. And at the end of the day, it's hearing his heart, which is stirring his church to action. Yeah. It's stirring his church to release him. Because like Clive said last week, the kingdom has been released. It's been released when Jesus was here on the earth to see miracles, to see lives changed, to make a difference. Okay? His kingdom of righteousness. So that means here we can see situations that aren't right turn right. Yeah. Become right. Because we carry his righteousness. We can see them change. We can see them shift. We don't have to live with things. One of the things that Karen said, and Ruth said as well, Karen said, Noah, who lives with Phil and Karen, is at university in London, and she would come back and say, oh, I can't get to university today. I can't get that day because of the trains. And this conversation was going on and on. In the end, they decided, look, we're not going to talk about this anymore. We're going to pray, and we're going to deal with this and sort this because this is not right. This is out. This is what we carry. Yeah? Are you getting this? Things that aren't right, unrighteousness. We also carry, as his people, the kingdom of righteousness, peace, and joy. Yes. Righteousness, peace, and joy is ours by the Spirit, Holy Spirit in us. We carry this, and we can release this wherever there needs to be peace, wherever there needs to be joy, wherever there needs to be righteousness, we can do this. Yes. Amen. I'm not telling you anything you don't know, am I? One of the most important things that God, I believe, wants to release in the earth is his justice. His justice and his loving kindness. That's his heart. Being a voice for the voiceless. He said in Isaiah 58:6, God says, isn't this the fast that I have chosen? He was fed up with all their sacrifices and everything they were doing to look right and be right. And all their fasting and abstaining from food and everything they would do in the law. He said, isn't this the fast I've chosen? To release the bonds of wickedness, to undo the bands of the yoke, and to let the oppressed go free, that you break every yoke. That's how we see people set free. The authority we've been given is to break the yoke of people that's been broken off of us, amen?
Yeah.
And see it broken, shattered off people's lives, that they can then go free. Okay. Isaiah 1 says, learn to do good, seek justice, help the oppressed, defend the cause of orphans, and fight for the rights of widows. Amen. Jeremiah 9, those who truly love me will demonstrate unfailing love, bring justice and righteousness to the earth. Amos 5, I want to see a mighty flood of justice, an endless river of righteous living. I want to watch to show you a video. And, you know, one of the things that we prayed into as a church a couple of Sundays ago was to do with a conference that was happening in Paris I think it was going to be on the Sunday afternoon, and we prayed on the Sunday morning. And I want to just encourage you that we saw an immediate answer to prayer. Okay, so we prayed that our government would not get involved and would not stand with whatever the nations were trying to come together and decide over dividing the land of Israel. And we prayed, and immediately our government changed tack And they sent a couple of lower key sort of people to this conference where over 70 nations were gathered together. All the nations, that's what scripture calls that when the 70 nations were coming against Israel, God, that's all the nations in scripture. And Britain, and there was only one or two others that didn't send their top guys. They sent a couple of other guys as observers, and they refused to sign what was going on. And they stood with that when the body then continued to meet in New York on the Tuesday, a few days later. What was set in place, our nation stood against and actually had a massive impact because it couldn't go through. That was a direct answer to prayer, okay? That was, and thousands of people in the nations were praying because they could see what was going on with this. And our nation shifted tack. And we need to continue to pray. At the end of the day, God's heart is for all people, and it's for all nations. And sometimes I just think, we're getting too political here, and God says, no, I'm shaking the nations. You need to know what's going on. You need to be up to date with what I'm doing in the nations, because you need to be praying. Because what the nations decide regarding their stance with Israel, they are judged on. So it's our responsibility to pray for our nations, okay? But it's his heart for the Jewish people, it's his heart for the Arabs there. But I want us to watch this video. I've seen this video a few times related to, it's a true story, and I've seen it linked into the being a voice for the voiceless in terms of the unborn child, okay? The children that are... that are being aborted, and to stop that. I've seen this video, and I think it was originally made for people to be a voice for the refugees, the thousands and thousands of refugees that are flooding Europe at the moment at this time and trying to get into other nations, trying to escape and get some kind of life. It's been used in that context, but let's just watch this. This is a true story.
This dream has haunted me for decades. There are some things that time does not erase. Sometimes the only way forward is by facing the past. This is my story. I lived in Germany during the Nazi Holocaust. A railroad track ran behind our small church, and each Sunday morning at the exact same time, we heard the whistle from a distance and then the clacking of the wheels moving over the track. It was at the same time every Sunday. We felt the rattling from the trail of cattle cars, accompanied by the screeching of metal that would echo through our church walls. It was a Sunday in the spring that would change my life forever.
Jesus said, "Do not resist an evildoer. But if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other also, loving your enemy. This is a far better way. This is how we were called to live. To understand this unnatural virtue, we must look to Jesus Christ as our model and our guide."
Thank you.
weakness was his strength. His silence, his statement to the world. We must pray for those who persecute us. Prayer is the mechanism that reaches heaven and moves mankind. Prayer. It's easy to underestimate prayer.
Wie heißt du?
Years have passed and no one talks about it much anymore. I still hear that train whistle in my sleep. I can still hear him crying out for help. God forgive all of us who called ourselves Christians yet did nothing to intervene.
Quite a powerful video, that, isn't it? It's called Sing a Little Louder. And, you know, God's heart is for people. And God's heart is to reach people that don't have a voice, that need our help. And we are a great church, and I know so many of us are already doing what God is asking of us to do. But I know it's not all that he wants to do. There's more. And there's more people that he wants us to reach, more people groups that need his heart, our intervention, our justice, his justice and righteousness work through our lives. And, you know, what's amazing is if you look at America at the moment, the church has been on the rise against abortion in such a massive way that they're seeing it reversed. When you would never think something like that could be reversed in a nation. State after state are saying no more. And the church is on the rise. And we can see the same happen in our nation because it's the same God. It's the same heart of justice and righteousness that he wants. But he wants us to get his heart. And you know what? Sometimes I know, you know, we're a great church. We do a lot of stuff. We have great worship. But you know what? It's not about singing better or louder. It's about us hearing God's voice and doing what he asks. Because you know what I think sometimes we can do is sing so loud, we drown out. We drown out his voice. We drown out him trying to move us to do something with everything he's given us inside and see freedom and see love and justice for his people. Whoever they are, Jew, Arab. And I was hesitating to show that video. I was going to show it earlier on in the year, and I didn't. But actually, you know, with Holocaust Week just been and gone, there was a headline 2 days ago, the rise of anti-Semitism across Europe in this nation is the highest it's ever been. The highest it's ever been. Anti-Jew, anti-Israel. We have a mandate from God as this church to be a voice for Israel. To speak out on their behalf, to get involved with things that are on God's heart. Amen. It's a challenge to us, isn't it? To hear his voice and then be positioned by him. And that's what this is about. He positions each one of us where he wants us to bring his voice, where he wants us to bring justice, where he wants us to bring righteousness. Each one of us has a part to play. So like I said, years ago, I prayed in school. That was where I was at, on the school playground. I wanted things to change, so we got together other mums. After that, God spoke to me about getting involved with the Crisis Pregnancy Centre in Horsham, teaching in schools, teaching young people about abortion, about the growing fetus in the womb, that it's not just a lump of cells. It's a formed baby from 12 weeks onwards. Truth, getting truth out there. So whatever phase of life you're in, wherever you're at, God can move you to get involved in an area of society where he wants to move. So the next thing God laid on my heart and my spirit and us as a church was to do with Israel. Being a heart, praying for the Jewish people. Because he's moving in that place. He's moving amongst them. He still loves them and he wants to save them. So he's moved us in this whole area. And so for years I've been praying. Many here have been praying. And then God moves you. He positions you. Last week we were up in London in the Foreign Office at an event. We didn't know any other Christians there. We didn't know why we were there. Apart from God said to me, the word he gave me 2 years ago in Auschwitz that I wrote down about our nation. He told me to write it on two cards, one for Theresa May and one for Boris Johnson. And at that meeting, we were at the Foreign Office. I knew I was to give it to them. And that, I believe it's the only reason we were there. And that's just being, hearing his heart, praying, 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 praying. Then God positions you to be the answer to your prayers. And he wants to do that with every single one of us. But you know what? You know where it starts? It starts with the little things. It starts with the... Where do I need to speak truth most? Actually, it's here. We need to rule and reign in our own minds. We need to rule and reign in our own hearts. We need to rule and reign in our own circumstances, in our own families. And then he moves us on to the next thing. Okay, go and rule and reign in your school, or in your college, or in your workplace. In fact, it's all going on at the same time, isn't it? Because we never get away from having to just speak truth up here, do we? Because that's where the enemy lies most. But it starts with taking authority where he's placed us. And then as we do that and we're faithful, he'll position us to the next thing. And he wants to do that with his church, with his body. All, every single one of us have a part to play. To finish with, I want to read this to you. So do you want to stand to your feet? So I'm sorry if it's felt a bit like a rant or a challenge today. but you know, it's totally his grace and totally his choosing that we rule and reign. We rule and reign, that we're his kings, bringing his decrees. Amen? This is a decree that Kingdom Faith London decreed at the beginning of January. And Clive and I were up there, and we were praying in different places in London. And this is really powerful. And what we're going to do is we're going to replace the word London with Horsham. Okay, and I'm going to read it, and it's quite long, but we're going to amen. You amen where you want to take hold of this and just, yes, this we're going to see this happen, okay? Is this all right? Okay, you ready? Okay, Heavenly Father, we come gladly and willingly to you, the Lord and King of the nations, to stand in this symbolic gate of Horsham on behalf of every man, woman and child. As a believer and child of God, I take up my position standing in your authority as a gatekeeper in the spirit realm at this entry and exit point into Horsham. I place my feet firmly on the ground of my inheritance, the inheritance you have given to your people in Horsham and this nation. Amen. In obedience to your command and as an act of prophetic declaration, I speak this decree in the precious and all-powerful name of your Son, Jesus. On the cross, he defeated and disarmed and stripped bare our enemy, the devil, the prince of this world, through the shedding of his innocent blood and the giving of his sinless life, which he willingly laid down for all. I decree today, let your kingdom come, let your will be done here in Horsham as it is in heaven. Every strategy, tactic and plan of the enemy concerning Horsham, I now prevent, overrule, undo and overthrow. Amen. I boldly declare and release the enduring, life-giving word of God, decreeing his rule, his reign, his dominion and his purpose will be established in the lives of the people here and all who enter her. I decree truth, humility and righteousness be established once again in every street, in every home, in every business, in every heart. Let justice and great joy fill this city, fill Horsham as you establish and build your kingdom here in this nation. Let hope reign. Let peace rule. Let life overcome death and freedom break out. I decree every chain of oppression, depression, despair, discouragement and mental turmoil be shattered and broken. In their place, we release your life-giving truth and unconditional love that heals, delivers, raises up the broken, sets the isolated and lonely in families and gives new hope to any downtrodden people in Horsham. Thank you, Lord, that you have heard the prayers, decrees and intercessions of your people in this place over many generations, declaring, spring up, O well. Let the heavens rain down righteousness and justice, for you alone are the God of truth. Let the earth open wide, releasing salvation, freedom and deliverance. Let them spring up like a fountain all across Horsham, because you are a loving, faithful Father to all who put their trust in you. I decree a release of your anointing, the fire of your holy, reforming, transforming presence. Consecrate this gateway and seal your word in this place with the anointing oil. And that's the anointing that we have. Amen. Release the fire of your presence right through the heart of Horsham and through the heart of our nation. Let the power of your resurrected, disarming, unquenchable love for every person in Horsham be experienced, seen and demonstrated through us, your people, and your church in Horsham, bringing much glory, honour and praise to you, our King and Lord. In the name of Jesus, the name above every other name, I decree, we decree, let it be according to your word. Amen. Amen. Yeah, Father, we just thank you right now. Who we are in the Spirit, who we are in you. Lord, we are seated in heavenly places with you. Lord, able to hear your voice, know your heart, know your will, and speak it, release it, decree it, wherever you position us, Lord. And we thank you for the new positions you're going to open up, Lord, as we're faithful, as we do what you ask us to do, Lord, the new things that are going to open for every single one of us, because you want your kingdom released through your people. Lord, help us to rule and reign in our own hearts and minds and every other area, Lord, from there on, Lord, with who we are in you. Lord, I just speak that wisdom, revelation and that light illuminating every heart and mind in our body to see you, see who we are and see what can be accomplished in this earth, Lord, through your body, through your bride. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.